Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, it's time Scott Kaplan joins the show. Cappy, not a good weekend for your Padres.
No, it wasn't. But I know yesterday it made me feel kind of good when I saw the Seahawks rip apart the Chargers. So that made me kind of feel either. A little better.
All right, I have
a question for you.
Yeah, but can I get to something before you get to your question? Because I have something for you. I'm thinking about starting a merchandise line.
Nice.
And if I do... Mm-hmm. I'm going to need to share in the profits with one George Sedano.
Why is that?
Because I think you've come up with something that's brilliant.
What's that?
So on the sweatshirts, on the hats, I'm just going to have four letters. DWAP. D-W-A-P.
Yeah.
Do you know what that stands for?
Down with something?
No. I don't know. You what? Have stumbled into a brilliant merchandising opportunity.
Okay.
Because it perfectly suits me.
Yeah.
To a lesser degree, you,
yeah.
And definitely Cap.
Yeah.
DWAP. D-W-A-P. Bergman, okay. You know where I'm going?
No, I'm trying to
figure out. You know where I'm going?
I do not. Uh-uh.
Isn't there is it a Nicki Minaj song?
It's something Sedano said on the show last week that is a perfect description for me in particular, but really all of us.
What?
Dork with a platform.
Oh, yeah.
With a platform.
Yeah, because we were talking about, Clinton.
Yeah.
Clinton was saying that the communities aren't cool anymore.
Right.
And I'm like, who made him the arbiter of cool? We're all dorks with a platform.
He made himself president of a handsome man club.
So if it ever goes anywhere, I will share in the profits.
Okay,
with
fair
you.
Enough. There you
DWAP.
Go.
Does that describe me perfectly?
Yes.
Cappy's going to beat us to it. He's already putting it on his merch site right
well,
now.
Cappy right careful. Now has got a Sharpie yeah. out and right. is writing it on
right.
a hat.
What I'm about to do is I'm about to send an email to my designer and say, hey, listen, here's the four letters.
Yeah.
Here's what it means.
Yeah.
And this time, by the way, make sure you put a... John, you tell me, do you want a Mason in Ireland logo to be visible
no,
on this?
No, I want four letters, DWAP.
Yeah, just DWAP. You don't
just
need to have letters. Any logo on it.
That, just four letters.
You that's the logo.
But if you create this,
yeah.
you are going to update your Twitter bio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just write DWAP.
Founder of DWAP.
John Ireland.
Yes.
DWAP.
Yeah. And then when people ask you what DWAP means, you're going to say... If you know,
you know.
Yeah. Well, this is like,
right.
do you remember there was a movie with Roy Scheider? I think it was called Blue Thunder, where he was
yes.
a helicopter
yes.
pilot.
Yeah, there was a TV show first and then a movie.
Okay,
yes.
And they gave the young guy he was training a hat
yeah.
that said Jaffo,
yeah.
J-A-F-O, and that became his nickname.
Yeah.
And because this guy was flying around the helicopter,
right.
he didn't understand why they were calling him Jaffo. But he rolled with it. He thought it was kind of nice.
I believe it stood for just another freaking operator.
Observer.
That's what it was.
Because he wasn't doing anything.
Right,
he was just flying the plane around. Just another effing observer.
Yeah.
When I was in college, we walked in and we had this guy who would do this all the time. And so we nicknamed him Moto.
Yeah.
M-O-T-O. Like nobody knows. His name was Jim.
Yeah.
Nobody called that guy Jim.
Just
everybody
Moto.
Called him Moto.
Yeah.
And it's because he was the type of guy that would walk in. And let's say all of us are around a poker table, and he'd walk in and go, "You guys playing cards?"
Yeah.
And so we looked at him and we went, "Moto."
Yeah.
And he goes, "Moto, what's happening? Just roll with it." Moto he goes, "Okay." And then for the next 5 years, "Hey, Moto, what's up, man? Blah, blah, blah." Moto stands for Master of the Obvious.
Oh, I like that.
Because he would just walk in all the time, like, "Hey, Lindsay, you producing the show today?" And she just walked in and handed you a rundown.
Yes.
Moto. Right there.
There you go.
Boom.
Cappy's a little Moto, I got to be honest with you.
He is.
Yeah,
that's why we like him.
Cap, I am too. I'm a little Moto.
So here's my question to you. It just got announced by Andrew Marchand of the New York Post that Jim Nantz will call his last Final Four this March and Ian Eagle will succeed him, which is awesome.
Yep.
For both guys, right? Like Jim Nantz done it forever. Ian Eagle is incredible. John, I will ask you, because you call games. Outside of the Lakers, because we know that's your dream job, if there's one event that you would want to be part of the broadcast, what event would that be? Any event in the world in sports.
Because
I feel like I know the one that you would pick, or maybe I'd be wrong, but I have a good guess, I feel like.
It would be something off the beaten path. Like, it would be, like, a lot of people have called Super Bowls. A lot of people have called World Series. Right. I've called NBA Finals. It would probably be Sunday at the Masters.
I was just going to say the Masters for sure would be yours.
Yeah, it would probably be Sunday at the Masters. I think that would be really
Momo,
fun.
Momo, if you could be part of one broadcast in any sporting
broadcast
event.
Broadcast or cover it?
No. Be part of the broadcast. Like, you'd be the reporter on X broadcast. And whether it's a Super Bowl, an NBA Finals, a Masters, an Olympics. And if you did Olympics, it'd be like we need like an event. But like,
I honestly think Olympics. Yeah. I think for me, Olympics, where like I'm a reporter there.
The assignment
I'm
would be that.
Well, now like the Olympic gold medal basketball game will actually be close.
Yeah,
like
pretty
the
good.
Americans have dominated forever, but if you look at the league now, I mean, there's so many great international stars.
To me, the kind of bucket list things for me as a reporter that I've never gotten to cover are the Olympics and the World Cup. I've never done the Olympics, so maybe when the Olympics come to LA. Be part of that
2028. Yeah. You think ESPN will loan us out to NBC?
Got to start working on that now.
Yeah. Mason does that all the time. He's worked like 8 Olympics.
Yeah, but he's different. He's
not on TV, though.
Yeah,
Momo and I are on TV. That's a lot different.
Yeah. Hey, guys, it looks like the DWAP t-shirts are already going to be a big hit. Okay. I've already got them designed.
Great. Excellent.
I'm going to put them into my merch shop here coming up shortly.
Beautiful.
Hey, Moto, what would be your...
I just slipped how he's going to put it into his
merch shop.
My merch shop.
Like, have you not learned that Cap takes all the good ideas and sells them himself?
Yeah. You know what that is? Smart.
Yeah. So, Moto, what would you be, Cappy? What is the event?
Well, this one, I hate to say it, but this is going to turn me into a Moto right now. I've never called a Super Bowl or been part of the broadcast for a Super Bowl. And what would always piss me off is every year I'd get to the divisional round of the playoffs, I'd call the wild card, then I'd call the divisional round, and then when they'd get to the AFC and NFC championship games, that was
see
the end
later.
Of me.
Yeah,
that
well,
was right. I was done.
I know. I know the feeling. I'm the NBA.
Right. So believe it or not, I mean, it sounds rather obvious, but I would really, really like to be on the field doing the field, reporting and commentary from the Super Bowl. And then my second one would be, I probably would like to be part of the broadcast of like the Triple Crown or the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah.
You know?
Isn't the Breeders' Cup at Del Mar this year?
No, I think it's...
Or is it Santa Anita?
Well, I think it's at Santa Anita would be my best guess because it was most recently at Del Mar. So. Yeah. But now, when I see a guy like Bob Costas or Mike Tirico on those broadcasts, I understand why they are there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I also know they don't know anything about horse racing.
Oh.
So I'm like, I would love to be able to be there for the event and be on the telecast for it.
So for me, it would be, Momo's got, it's one and 1A. So one would be, and this is specific, the late night host of the Olympics.
Oh, that's cool.
Jim Lampley
used to do that forever. Yep. Mm-hmm. Because I am the type of person that late at night, I am watching the Olympics. I'm watching all these random sports. I'm not, everybody watches in the winter, the figure skating or the gymnastics or whatever in the track and field. No, I want like judo, right? Like in the middle of the night, right?
That's cool.
Or like, synchronized swimming.
You brought up Costas. And, Costas got kind of put back in the rotation to do baseball games this year. And I always love listening to Costas. I learn a lot. I think he's a great announcer, blah, blah. Listen to Mike Francesa, what he says about Costas.
Costas, who will not be quiet no matter what. Listen, Costas has just, I don't know, he thinks that I guess every word is golden because he just will not shut up. Everything's a history lesson. We don't need a history lesson every 2 seconds. Okay, everybody's a Yankee fan. They have Yankee history. They understand Yankee history. They know it backwards and forwards. This is not a history class. It's a baseball game. Be quiet. Do the game. He's driving everybody crazy. He must have said 1,000 times, the Yankee home runs. We know the Yankees have doubled their home runs this year. We know the Indians hit 127 homers and the Yankees hit 254. We know that. Everybody knows it. Make the point once, not 4,000 times. But be that as it may.
All right.
By the way, now you know why he's such a he's such a crank. He's not on radio anymore for the most part.
I like Mason agrees with Francesa. What do you guys think? But did Costas talk too much?
I disagree. Now, I didn't watch the entire game, but
he did not this round, previous round.
I didn't watch the entire games that he did, but I came in and out, and I think that's the point, is that people come in and out of broadcast. And look, far be it from me to criticize Bob Costas on how to do any sports broadcast. No offense, Mike Francesa. I know you had your stint on college football on CBS many years ago, but relax there, pal.
Yeah, I'm
slow
with you.
Slow your roll.
I'm with you. Momo, does Costas bug you?
No, I think there's also, there's very few broadcasters who are event broadcasters. Like, I am listening to hear what that guy says.
Yeah.
And, like, when I tune into Amazon now, it's like Al Michaels.
Yeah.
I want to hear what Al Michaels is saying.
Yeah, right.
And so there's a quality
just
of...
just him being there makes the game bigger.
Yeah, it makes the game feel bigger. And so when you go get Bob Costas, like, people want to hear Bob Costas. Like, he's probably
especially
paid
baseball.
Millions of dollars to be on this.
Because baseball, the audience already skews, like, 55 yeah. plus anyway. Yeah. So they're all familiar with him for the most part. And I just, Francesa is such a crank, man.
Cap, what do you think? Are you tired of Costas?
I got to be honest with you guys. I really did not watch much of that series. And the only thing I saw Costas even do was the House of the Dragon promo, which I knew he was very annoyed.
Yeah, you could tell he was annoyed by it.
But I will just say, I don't have this this love affair with Bob Costas like I know so many other sports fans do. And by the way, I have had for so many other announcers. I mean, Momo, you just mentioned Al Michaels. Al Michaels is to me, I mean, whatever he says, I want to listen to. And George, this whole conversation started with you mentioning Jim Nantz. Now, look, I'm biased in all of this, but Jim Nantz, I love Jim Nantz.
See, he's not that guy for me.
See, I'm actually shocked that Jim is giving up the NCAA tournament. I'm happy as can be for Ian Eagle.
Yeah, great dude.
I mean, really great guy.
And by the way, Noah, his son is coming.
He's a star already.
Yeah, coming.
He's a star already.
They're going to be Joe and Jack Buck. Like, after Ian has run, like, Noah might, like, walk right into that.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. By the way,
my second thing, 1A, breakfast at Wimbledon, but just that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Just that just that day. Just the breakfast at Wimbledon
that.
Day.
I understand that. Now, wait a second. So I gave you the Super Bowl, and I give you, like, Breeders' Cup or the Triple Crown, but I'll tell you guys, like, you talk about way off the beaten path here, and I wonder if everybody has one of these. Way off the beaten path. I would like to be the broadcaster for the Ironman in Hawaii.
Oh, well, you did one, though.
Yeah, I did one as an athlete. I would like to be the announcer for
it. No, but that's my point, is that you're familiar with it.
Yeah, right. Well, so that's just it.
I can't believe you did it. You finished an Ironman, Cap?
That's correct.
Okay, so I was in 1 year. And they still do this.
Yeah.
They do a thing called the Malibu Triathlon. Uh-huh. And what it is it's cheating.
Yeah.
It would be, the three of us would be like the ESPN LA team.
Yeah sure. So somebody runs, somebody runs.
One of us,
runs,
one of us would swim,
yeah.
One of us would bike, and one of us run. I was the swimmer, so I was the first guy.
Right.
And how long is the swim?
A mile. And isn't a regular triathlon 3 miles?
No. I mean, an Ironman, the swim is like 2.6 miles.
Yeah, so this was a mile.
2.4 miles.
So I did my mile, and I got out, and I tagged somebody, and he hopped on the bike, and he rode off. And I have great admiration for anybody who can even finish one of those things. So good for you, Cap.
Yeah.
Did you hit the time you were going for? Or
I had no time goal of any sort.
You just wanted to finish?
Other than to finish, yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, the year before, I had stood at the finish line, and the last person was on the course. And the maximum is 17 hours. So it was about 16 hours and 55 minutes. And the crowd is going crazy because it's almost midnight.
And you did the one in Hawaii?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so the crowd's going nuts. And the announcer, the actual, like, stage announcer, is a guy by the name of Mike Riley. And he's telling everybody, you know, this person just came in. They're from L.A. You know, you're an Iron Man. Okay. This person just finished. And they're from Denver, Colorado. You're an Iron Man. And Mike Riley says to the crowd, and the crowd is losing it because I'm telling you, it's like packed, jam-packed. There's one guy left on the course, one guy. And now it's 16 hours and 58 minutes. He's got 2 minutes to finish. And this guy was on, like, NBC's The Biggest Loser. He was some, like, collegiate wrestler.
Right.
And so they're bringing him home, right? And the crowd is roaring. And now the clock hits 17 hours. And when the guy finishes the race at about 17 hours and 30 seconds, Mike Riley says to him, you know, congratulations, Steven, you just finished. But what he didn't say is, you are an Ironman, because he did not finish the race in the 17 hours
that.
Permitted.
Yes. Wow. I didn't know that. Wow. So there used to be, you probably know this guy, Cap. There used to be a guy in San Diego when I was a TV reporter down there named Bob Babbitt.
Hacksaw.
I
know him very well.
Okay, so.
and Hacksaw.
Yeah, you tell me, Escondido. So Babbitt comes out. He was the big Ironman guy, triathlon guy. He did a lot of, and you know him, Cap. He's like.
And by the way, Jim Lampley, who you guys mentioned earlier, Jim Lampley with ABC's Wide World of Sports put the Ironman on the map.
Oh, wow. Full circle. All right, so Babbitt tells me, he goes, I want to introduce you to a new sport. I said, okay. And he goes, you free tomorrow morning? I go, yeah. He goes, I want you to meet me at this golf course. And he shows up at the golf course with Steve Scott, who at the time was the American record holder in the mile.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He goes, John, we're going to play speed golf. And I said, what's that? He goes, we're going to start a clock when you hit your first shot. And your score is whatever you score in the golf course plus how many minutes it takes you to finish the course.
Wow.
That sounds fun.
So you hit, basically you carry three clubs. You carry like a wood, a 7-iron, and a putter.
Right.
And you hit and you pick up your clubs and sprint to your ball. And you hit and pick up your club. Steve Scott shot 80, really good score, and he did it in 40 minutes.
Wow.
For a 120.
Right.
I shot 95 and did it in 45 minutes.
Wow.
But it is such a good workout and so fun. And most golf courses won't let you do it.
Oh,
but
no,
if you can find anybody who will let you do it, it's a blast.
You know, yeah, what kind of like, well, it's not a country club sport anymore because it's become like a big deal. We should have a pickleball tournament at this place.
I think that's a great idea.
Everybody's playing. It's great.
It's so much fun.
Idea. So in.
It's so much fun.
That's what's in.
That's what's in.
You know what's in? The Philadelphia Phillies are in now. Real quick, just a couple of things real quick. You know who I'm super jealous of, who I'd love to do one of the, I don't know if he still does it. But the AVP volleyball stuff that Geeter used to do.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Love those events.
Chris Marlowe, who's a Nuggets announcer, on Wednesday, still does a lot of that. Yeah,
real quick, I know you love this stuff, John. Peyton and Eli, you want to guess their guest? You want to know their guest today?
Yeah, who are they?
So I'm going to go in what I would say reverse order of fame.
Okay.
Bill Burr.
Very funny.
The comedian.
Love Bill Burr.
Vince Vaughn.
Okay. Lives my neighbor in Manhattan Beach.
Love Vince Vaughn.
And President Obama.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now that's a get.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'll be great.
President Obama shouted out Momo at the Toronto Golden State Warriors
finals.
Should
have retired then. It was like, it was never going to get better than that moment.
He gave her a, hey, I like what you write. Or something like that.
Career highlight.
Yeah.
Was that your impression of Obama?
You know what it was? Let me see inside. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Standing in the hallway in Toronto.
Yeah.
Me and Doris Burke. I was doing radio sidelines. She was doing TV sidelines. We were pretty much outside the Warriors locker room the entire series because everyone got hurt. And so we're standing out in front and Obama walks by with Adam Silver, and he sees DB, and they know each other from whatever. I don't know.
He's like just DB.
Bracketology. Yeah. It's Doris Burke, whatever. So she's chatting him up, and I'm like, oh my God. It's like, Doris, how do you know him? And then he sees me, and we meet eyes.
Yeah.
Like we say, you know, like a recognition. Yeah. Like I obviously know him. No concept that he knows me, and he goes, you do a great job.
Wow.
That's what it was.
And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Did that just happen?
That's
Doris Burke, the greatest ever, Doris says, you got to tweet that. I go, there's no way I'm tweeting that. That is the biggest humble brag ever.
Hold on. You're not going to believe what Bergman just said to me.
I was talking to Lindsay. Did you guys already talk about it?
No. Shut up. Repeat exactly what you just said to me in my ear.
I said, do you want the Manning cast lineup? Because it's pretty good.
It's literally what we're talking about.
Sedano, like, teed
it up. I was talking to Lindsay.
Delivered it. We've been talking about it for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't listen to your crosstalk.
Do you work here?
No.
Super crosstalk.
Super crosstalk.
Right. Mega super.
All right. Doris Burke says to me, I'll tweet it for you.
So what happened?
So she tweeted it for me. She goes, and I was like, wait, I just got two goats tweeting at me. like Doris tweeted about me and Barack. I'm like, this, I got to just retire
today. My
now.
FaceTime, I got robbed today on Around the Horn. We had, Ramona knows this. Sometimes you have to do the last segment over because something went wrong.
Oh, that sucks.
And I had won against Tim Kalishaw, and then I lost. But I had already done my FaceTime, and it was to Drake. Because it's his birthday today, and I gave him I mentioned Doris Burke, because you know he's got this affinity for Doris.
So. Yeah, that Dave's Hot Chicken, which is Drake's favorite chicken, brought a bunch of food in today in honor of Drake's birthday.
Oh, that's nice. They that's never cool. bring for the afternoon show.
No, I think there's still some for you. No,
there might be.
No, I think they did bring for you.
No, it's better that for us not to eat it.
Get in here with the food. Oh, by the way, who's the one person that you were surprised knew who you were? You ever have one of those? Like, yours would be Obama, Momo.
Yeah.
I'm walking down the hallway once, and Stan Kroenke, the Rams owner, is coming the other way. And I didn't know what to say, so I just said, hi, Stan. He goes, hey, John, how's it going?
Oh, my.
And I went, whoa. I go, he probably had somebody behind him in his ear.
Mine is either going to be Allen Iverson or Ric Flair. But apparently Ric Flair is a big ESPN guy.
No, Ric Flair is a big ESPN guy.
Michael is Ric Flair. Michael's a Minnesota guy. And Doug Mann arranged for Ric Flair to do third chair once. It was really good. All right,
Mine is also Ric Flair, and he follows me on Twitter.
Yeah, beautiful. He's like a big basketball ESPN guy. So like, it's not all that shocking. But I guess maybe it's AI. I have a good AI story that is actually not for air.
Okay, good. Sedano and Cap are coming up next. You can catch Momo tomorrow. See ya. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA. Oh, wait a minute.
Look how generous you've been. It's 4:16. Very nice of you.
Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long, is the sponsor of Super Crosstalk, which are
pickleball tournament coming in the spring.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Sedano and Cap next, ESPN LA.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, come on.
Bam, ba da bam. Bee, ba da boom. Dee, da da da, ba da boom, bum. Bee, ba da bum. Bee, ba da bum. Bam, ba da bum. Ba da bum. Ba da bum. So I just got a text from you. Can I reveal this text?
Please.
It says, we have to destroy everyone in pickleball.
Damn right.
Well, I feel like we'd have a pretty good advantage. Like, well, I don't know. We'd definitely kill Mason in Ireland. Ireland feels like he could probably play. Mason, no chance. Travis Asliwa, though. You know, Travis was a college baseball player, and Slee was in pretty good shape. Like, I feel like they would give us a run for our money.
Yeah, the thing about Travis is, have you ever played, like, a racquetball or a game like that where you don't have to do a lot of running, but if you really know the angles, you can stand there and just crush people?
Right.
That's the kind of player I think Travis could be.
Correct.
Whereas Sliwa, I do think, has some mobility, and I think I think Sliwa could be a dangerous player.
Yeah.
But I think this, George, I don't know if you've been playing pickleball or if this just popped into your head or what, but I know this. I will go to work immediately. I will begin practicing. And, you know, my father, down in Boca del Vista, Phase 4.
Yeah.
He thinks of himself as a professional pickleball player. Maybe he coaches us up a little.
Oh, there you go. You can fly him in. We can have like a coach, a ringer.
Right. Now, have you played at all?
I've played once. Yeah, and it was fun.
This past weekend?
No, like a few months ago.
Oh, all right. Because, I mean, the way it just popped into your head, you know, like we got to have a pickleball tournament.
Well, I just felt like, it's been in the news a lot. A lot of athletes are buying in this pickleball league, including your boyfriend Tom Brady and LeBron. So
yeah. Well, let me just tell you something. Like, having a poker tournament in a casino is fun, and lots of people can come and lots of people can play.
Yeah.
But pickleball has become so popular right now that I think if we put it out there, I mean, we would literally have thousands of people that want to play in this pickleball
tournament. Yeah, I don't know if we could do thousands, because, again, if you want to play a tournament,
about millions.
Yeah.
Can we do millions?
Yeah. I don't think we could. I mean, unless you want to do, like, I definitely can't do millions. Even thousands, it would take us weeks to finish, so I don't think we have weeks. So
well, how about hundreds?
Maybe.
Tens?
Maybe tens.
How about just the people who work at the station?
How about like 64, right? Like we make it like a March Madness kind of thing.
That's a nice idea.
64 teams.
You know what we'll do? I will call Jim Nantz personally.
Yeah, okay.
And I will get Jim Nantz to come in and call the games and say hello, friends.
No, here's what we'll do. Since we can't afford Jim Nantz, we probably can't afford Ian Eagle either. And since he's local, we'll have Noah Eagle come do it.
That's fine. We can have him do it. We could even have him do like the whole splashy sort of, what's that thing they do with the alternative broadcast?
Nickelodeon with the slime.
Yes. Yeah. He can slime the losers.
Yeah. There you go.
I like that idea.
Now, I feel like the Lakers are headed to a slime episode or something. Because
why? What's wrong? What's
the way
the
everything has kind of unraveled for them.
Why?
Recently.
What's the issue? What's
the
issue?
Oh, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, things are happening.
What's going on? What's the problem?
Yeah. Yeah, you
Come
know.
Come on, it's early. Come on. Give me a break. Come on. If this were a baseball season and a team were 0-3, everybody would be like, what's the big deal? Come on, it's early. It's no problem.
Yeah.
So they lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yeah.
It's three games.
4% of their games.
Come on, it's three games. Come on, where's the positivity, people?
I mean, you're still on that? You think, Russ, come on, Russ, you're going to do it? Like, you think that's going to keep, like, happening? I
come
mean,
on,
did you
LeBron.
Hear Billy Mack and Stu?
Oh, my God.
During that broadcast? By the way, I was at the Clipper game.
mm-hmm. on what day was that?
Thursday of last week. Yeah.
Yeah. And when he took the first one, Russ, and I look, I'm at the stage where I feel bad for him. Okay. Like, this is not, it's not, you don't wish this upon people by any stretch of the imagination. We just try to point out and opine on what we see. But there is a part of it where I'm like, oh, this is brutal. But that first shot he took in that game, the first shot, I'm talking about like less than a minute into the game, the entire audience at Crypto.com Arena went, no. And I was just like, oh, no, that can't be good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, look, I don't blame Billy Mack and Stu. Like, they're a conduit to the fans. Like, they want them to win. So he takes that shot, and of course they're going to react that way. I would have reacted the exact same way.
But I think that the reason they reacted that way, and I think that the other, you know, everybody else who has kind of had their shot at Russ for taking that particular shot, it's not because it's an awful shot.
No, it's a bad shot.
Well, but hold on. It's a mid-range jump shot, and he's all by himself.
Right.
The issue
is... But do you know what the percentage of him making that shot is?
Tell me.
It's like 30... In his career, it's like 38%, and it's way worse since he's been with the Lakers.
Well, the other part of it is the reason there's nobody playing defense against him is because Portland's like, let him take his shot, which we learned after the very first game when LeBron pretty much said that in the post-game press conference.
No lasers.
But here's the thing. It's not just because it's a mid-range jumper and he's all by himself. I mean, if LeBron took that shot, we wouldn't have a problem. If AD took that shot, nobody would have a problem.
Well, I think with AD, they'd even have a problem, but less so than Russ.
Because let me tell you something. When AD shoots threes, I'm the person going, no!
Yeah, he's the worst jump shooter in the NBA over the last 2 years.
But here's the reason that Russ is hearing it from everybody.
Yeah.
It's because of how much time was remaining on the shot.
Oh, my God.
It was 17 seconds.
Yeah, 18 seconds. There was only 30 seconds left in the game.
Right. Like, you just, in terms of like basketball aptitude, I would just think that a player who's had the career that he's had would have enough knowledge of the game, what the score is, how much time is remaining on the game clock, how much is remaining on the shot clock, and would think, this is not for me to take this shot. Not here, right? Not now. We got to run the clock down.
Correct. Because the 2-for-1 there is not going to work out in your favor. It's
Listen,
over.
Yeah. And look, George, I know you said you kind of feel bad now.
I do
Russ.
Feel bad for him.
I'm in the same boat because I'll tell you what. Nobody talks about other stuff. Everything is Russ's fault. You know, like, think about one of the last plays of the game. Mm-hmm. When Portland scored, and Jeremy Grant, at 3 seconds remaining, put Portland up by 2. And on that play, he gets the ball. He's one-on-one with LeBron. You know what he did to LeBron? He went around him. And then when AD was standing there at the basket, he put it right in over AD as well.
That's a really tough shot he made there. Like, the Lakers' defense, by the way, on the Damian Lillard 3 and that shot, the Damian Lillard 3 a little less, but it's hard to guard Damian Lillard one-on-one. Like, let's start with that. But the defense on Jeremy Grant, yes, he got by LeBron. But to your point, he also stuffed it in, he laid it in with AD right there. Like, AD was an inch away from swatting that shot.
Right, and all I'm trying to say to you is...
But that's to me a tip of the cap to Jeremy Grant. That's less of an issue with the Lakers.
It was a nice play by Grant, but all I'm saying is this, is that everybody focuses on Russ, focuses on what
are you going to do the Sliwa thing?
Which is what?
Sliwa was doing this morning. I was listening on the drive-in when
which
I was coming
what?
In around
do?
The horn. Which was like, you know, there's a lot of things. It's not just Russ. Everything doesn't have to revolve around Russ. And I'm like, no, bro. And Travis was like, yeah, but he's like the main culprit to all this. And he's right. He is. Like, unfortunately for Russell Westbrook, he is the centerpiece of the things that have gone wrong here. Not just individually during games, but his salary is become an issue because they couldn't augment the team properly. They can't deal him the same way because teams don't want to take him in even as an expiring salary. Like, he is the focus, unfortunately, for better or worse in this situation.
I understand. I do. But, I mean, listen, how about the beautiful pass that he made to AD where AD stuffed one home? Like, nobody's going, hey, you know what? Nice contribution. Really great pass. Really unselfish. Way to go. Everybody, and by the way, this happened on opening night when they were playing at Golden State, when everybody was already criticizing the Lakers and saying they stink, and, you know, Russ has had the joy stolen from him, Charles Barkley. Everybody was saying the same thing. No matter what happens with this Laker team, everything will be blamed on Russell Westbrook. Everything. And now, I mean, you take a look at that shot for a guy who is not shooting well to take that shot with that amount of time left in the game versus that amount of time left on the shot clock. It was, make no mistake, it was a dumb choice.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Because you're not the right guy to be taking that shot in that situation.
Correct. And by the way, as much as I will defend LeBron, I don't necessarily think he did him any favors, even though he was trying to do that. Let's get to that on the other side.
Yeah, come on.
So I just got a text from you. Can I reveal this text?
Please.
It says we have to destroy everyone in pickleball.
Damn right.
Well, I feel like we'd have a pretty good advantage. Like, well, I don't know. Travis and I mean, we'd definitely kill Mason in Ireland. Ireland feels like he could probably play. Mason, no chance. Sliwa, Travis and Sliwa, though, you know, Travis was a college baseball player, and Slee was in pretty good shape. Like, I feel like they would give us a run for our money.
Yeah, the thing about Travis is, have you ever played, like, a racquetball or a game like that?
Yeah.
Where you don't have to do a lot of running, but if you really know the angles, you can stand there and just crush people?
Right.
That's the kind of player I think Travis could be.
Correct.
Whereas Sliwa, I do think, has some mobility, and I think I think Sliwa could be a dangerous player.
Yeah.
But I think this, George, I don't know if you've been playing pickleball or if this just popped into your head or what, but I know this. I will go to work immediately. I will begin practicing. And, you know, my father, down in Boca del Vista, Phase 4, he thinks of himself as a professional pickleball player. Maybe he coaches us up a little
bit. Oh, there you go. You can fly him in. We can have, like, a coach, a ringer.
Right. Now, have you played at all?
I've played once, and it was fun.
This past weekend?
No, like a few months ago.
Oh, all right, because I mean, the way it just popped into your head, you know, like we got to have a pickleball tournament.
Well, I just felt like, well, it's been in the news a lot. A lot of athletes are buying in this pickleball league, including your boyfriend Tom Brady and LeBron. So
yeah, well, let me just tell you something. Like, having a poker tournament in a casino is fun, and lots of people can come and lots of people can play.
Yeah.
But pickleball has become so popular right now that I think if we put it out there, I mean, we would literally have thousands of people that want to play in this pickleball.
Yeah, I don't know if we could do thousands because, again, if you want to play a tournament,
what, like, about millions?
Yeah,
can we do millions.
Yeah. I don't think we could. I mean, unless you want to do, like, you know, I definitely can't do millions. Even thousands, it would take us weeks to finish. So I don't think we have weeks. So
well, how about hundreds?
Maybe
tens.
Maybe tens.
How about just the people who work at the station?
How about like 64, right? Like we make it like a March Madness kind of thing.
That's a nice idea.
64 teams.
You know what we'll do? I will call Jim Nantz personally.
Yeah, okay.
And I will get Jim Nantz to come in and call the games and say hello, friends.
No, here's what we'll do. Since we can't afford Jim Nantz, we probably can't afford Ian Eagle either. And since he's local, we'll have Noah Eagle come do it.
That's fine. We can have him do it. We could even have him do like the whole splashy sort of, what's that thing they do with the alternative broadcast?
With the slime.
Yes. Yeah. He can slime the losers.
Yeah. There you go.
I like that idea.
Now, I feel like the Lakers are headed to a slime episode or something. Because
why? What's wrong? What's
the way
the
everything is kind of unraveled for them.
Why?
Recently.
What's the issue? What's
the
issue?
Oh, I don't know if you've noticed, but, you know, things are happening.
What's going on? What's the problem?
Yeah. Yeah, you
Come
know.
Come on, it's early. Come on. Give me a break. Come on. If this were a baseball season and a team were 0-3, everybody would be like, what's the big deal? Come on, it's early. It's no problem.
Yeah.
So they lost yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So what?
Yeah.
It's three games.
4% of their games.
Come on, it's three games. Come on, where's the positivity, people?
I mean, you're still on that? You're still, you think, Russ, come on, Russ, you're going to do it? Like, you think that's going to keep, like, happening? I
come
mean,
on,
did you
LeBron.
Hear Billy Mack and Stu?
Oh, my God.
During that broadcast? They by the way, I was at the Clipper game on, what day was that?
Thursday. Of last week, yeah.
Yeah, and when he took the first one, Russ, and I'm at the stage where I feel bad for him, okay? Like, this is not, it's not, you don't wish this upon people by any stretch of the imagination. We just try to point out and opine on what we see, but there is a part of it where I'm like, oh, this is brutal. But that first shot he took in that game, the first shot, I'm talking about like less than a minute into the game, the entire audience at Crypto.com Arena went, no! And I was just like, oh, no, that can't be good.
Yeah.
And then, You know, look, I don't blame Billy Mack and Stu. Like, they're a conduit to the fans. Like, they want them to win. So he takes that shot, and of course they're going to react that way. I would have reacted the exact same way.
But I think that the reason they reacted that way, and I think that the other, you know, everybody else who has kind of had their shot at Russ for taking that particular shot, it's not because it's an awful shot.
No, it's a bad shot.
Well, but hold on. It's a mid-range jump shot, and he's all by himself.
Right.
The issue
is... But do you know what the percentage of him making that shot is?
Tell me.
It's like 30... In his career, it's like 38%, and it's way worse since he's been with the Lakers.
Well, the other part of it is the reason there's nobody playing defense against him is because Portland's like, let him take his shot, which
yeah.
we learned after the very first game when LeBron pretty much said that in the post-game press conference.
No but lasers.
But here's the thing. It's not just because it's a mid-range jumper and he's all by himself. I mean, if LeBron took that shot, we wouldn't have a problem. If AD took that shot, nobody would have a problem.
Well, I think with AD, they'd even have a problem, well, but less so than Russ.
Because let me tell you something. When AD shoots threes, I'm the person going, no!
Yeah, he's the worst jump shooter in the NBA over the last 2 years.
But here's the reason that Russ is hearing it from everybody.
Yeah.
It's because of how much time was remaining on the shot.
Oh, my God.
It was 17 seconds.
Yeah, 18 seconds. There was only 30 seconds left in the game.
Right. Like, you just, in terms of like basketball aptitude, I would just think that a player who's had the career that he's had would have enough knowledge of the game, what the score is, how much time is remaining on the game clock, how much is remaining on the shot clock, and would think, this is not for me to take this shot. Not here, right? Not now. We got to run the clock down.
Correct. Because the 2-for-1 there is not going to work out in your favor. It's
Listen,
over. Yeah.
And look, George, I know you said you kind of feel bad now.
I do
Russ.
Feel bad for him.
I'm in the same boat because I'll tell you what. Nobody talks about other stuff. Everything is Russ's fault. You know, like, think about one of the last plays of the game. Mm-hmm. When Portland scored,
yeah,
and Jeremy Grant, at 3 seconds remaining, put Portland up by 2. And on that play, he gets the ball. He's one-on-one with LeBron. You know what he did to LeBron? He went around him. And then when AD was standing there at the basket, he put it right in over AD as well.
That's a really tough shot he made there. Like, the Lakers' defense, by the way, on the Damian Lillard 3 and that shot, the Damian Lillard 3 a little less, but it's hard to guard Damian Lillard one-on-one. Like, let's start with that. But the defense on Jeremy Grant, yes, he got by LeBron. But to your point, he also stuffed it in, he laid it in with AD right there. Like, AD was an inch away from swatting that shot.
Right, and all I'm trying to say to you is...
But that's to me a tip of the cap to Jeremy Grant. That's less of an issue with the Lakers.
It was a nice play by Grant, but all I'm saying is this, is that everybody focuses on Russ, focuses on what
are you going to do the Sliwa thing?
Which is what?
Sliwa was doing this morning. I was listening on the drive-in when
which
I was coming
what?
In around
do?
The horn. Which was like, you know, there's a lot of things. It's not just Russ. Everything doesn't have to revolve around Russ. And I'm like, no, bro. And Travis was like, yeah, but he's like the main culprit to all this. And he's right. He is. Like, unfortunately for Russell Westbrook, he is the centerpiece of the things that have gone wrong here. Not just individually during games, but his salary is become an issue because they couldn't augment the team properly. They can't deal him the same way because teams don't want to take him in even as an expiring salary. Like, he is the focus, unfortunately, for better or worse in this situation.
I understand. I do. But, I mean, listen, how about the beautiful pass that he made to AD where AD stuffed one home? Like, nobody's going, hey, you know what? Nice contribution. Really great pass. Really unselfish. Way to go. Everybody, and by the way, this happened on opening night when they were playing at Golden State, when everybody was already criticizing the Lakers and saying they stink, and, you know, Russ has had the joy stolen from him, Charles Barkley. Everybody was saying the same thing. No matter what happens with this Laker team, everything will be blamed on Russell Westbrook. Everything. And now, I mean, you take a look at that shot for a guy who is not shooting well to take that shot with that amount of time left in the game versus that amount of time left on the shot clock, it was, make no mistake, it was a dumb choice.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
Because you're not the right guy to be taking that shot in that situation.
Correct. And by the way, as much as I will defend LeBron, I don't necessarily think he did him any favors, even though he was trying to do that. Let's get to that on the other side.
Did you have any of that Dave's Hot Chicken that was brought into the studio?
No, although Mark Cates said that he was told I wasn't coming in today, and I'm curious because, hold on a second.
They asked me this morning at like 9:30 if you were coming in, and I said I thought that you guys were coming in Tuesday and Thursday, and then that's when I texted you, so I told him my bad for not updating you once I found out you were coming
but
in.
But here's the thing. So Dave, Mark Cates texted me on Friday at 4:26 p.m., and says to me, want to huddle before the show, also bringing in some Dave's Hot Chicken for everyone, new partner, fire emoji. And I said, yeah, thanks, I'm in on Monday. Looking forward to eating, I'll fast all day prior.
That's my fault, though, because Greg texted me this morning and was like, hey, I said I'm coming in today, and I was like...
But he could have texted me, and I already told him on Friday I was coming in.
You're right.
No, it is nice, though, that... that everybody's like, hey, you know, we don't really talk to the talent. You know, we gotta go through intermediaries. You know, I don't want to talk to Sedano directly. You know,
no, that's not true. Cates texts me all the time. Yeah, so that's why I was surprised.
Gotta go through a Lindsay,
one of those things where like Cates came in the studio and Greg was here and he was like, hey, by the way, I think Sedano's coming in today. And he was just like, no, he usually doesn't come in until Tuesdays. And he was like, oh, I didn't know that.
I mean, I've only been in Monday like the last several weeks.
All right, so wait, let's just do this real quick. We're all in tomorrow. What are we gonna get to eat tomorrow? That's the question.
Yeah, what are you making up for it, Cates?
I mean,
this is all my fault, though. I feel like
and
this
Chris
is
said
totally
he,
my fault.
Chris also said that we weren't coming in.
Now, is Cates, and let me just check, you guys tell me this. Is Cates upcoming going to be running the New York City Marathon? Do you guys know?
I think so,
because he was posting about it on his Instagram.
Yeah.
There you go.
I mean, that's amazing. I don't know when the New York City Marathon is. I think it probably is coming up here soon. Mm-hmm. But if so, to get into the New York Marathon is a big deal, and then to get out there and run it is awesome. It's definitely on my bucket list. I don't know that I'm ever going to get to it, but
November 6th.
It's on there. Oh, so it's coming up. Yeah, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
wow, awesome.
Yeah. So good for Cates, and maybe he'll make up for it tomorrow. By the way, 710 ESPN is the only station giving you a chance to win $1 million, not a national contest. When you hear the cue to call today, be caller 7 to win 2 tickets to Rams Niners this Sunday and a shot at $1 million. Basically, if you're caller 7 when you hear the cue to call, you'll win the tickets, as I mentioned. And then you have to give us your Super Bowl prediction, the two teams and the score for each team. If you nail it, we'll hand over $1 million. Cappy will knock on your door, basically. That's how it'll work.
I'm glad to do it. And I'll bring one of those big checks.
Yeah. Yeah, like Publishers Clearinghouse when we were a kid. So there you go. All right, real quick, let's talk some football here because we can get back to the Lakers in a second. What was the thing from the football football weekend, I guess, that stood out to you the most? Was it anything that happened on the field? Was it Christian McCaffrey going to the Niners instead of the Rams? Like, what was the thing that you were like, ooh, wow, that's interesting?
I'll tell you this. First thought that comes to mind is the Seattle Seahawks for a team that was supposed to be like the laughingstock of the division, that has the Super Bowl champions, that has a team that was in the NFC Championship game. The Seattle Seahawks, you talk about a team that is well coached. Pete Carroll could not coach this team with Russell Wilson on it anymore. There was just too much.
Russ has gotten to the point of, you know how they used to be referred to as diva wide receivers? I feel like Russ is at the diva quarterback stage.
Yeah. So just an initial thought, like an overreaction. You ready?
Yeah. You want an overreaction on overreaction? Yeah. I'll meet your overreaction with an overreaction, but you go.
Here's an overreaction.
Yeah.
The Seattle Seahawks are going to win the NFC West.
That seems like an overreaction.
Well, I mean, they're in first place today, so you got to give me that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they are. Yeah, it seems like an overreaction considering there's still 10 more weeks to go or 11 more weeks or something like that.
I just feel like I'm not all that confident in the Rams, although I'm hoping that their bye week will give them time to figure out the health of their offensive line.
Yeah.
And after what I saw yesterday by the 49ers, look, they're playing the Chiefs, okay? And the Chiefs are really good. But, George, other than Philadelphia, and I guess I'll buy into the New York Giants a little bit because they're 6-1. But
they're good, but they're not like Super Bowl good.
But I mean, Tampa Bay's no good.
Yeah, your boy Brady's washed, bro.
Yeah, the Rams don't look good.
Wait, did you just say when I said your boy Brady's washed?
Yeah, he's terrible. He's awful. The Packers look terrible. Aaron Rodgers looks awful. I mean,
yeah, but the thing with the Packers, at least, it's just Rodgers clearly doesn't trust any receivers. He had one completion to a receiver through three quarters, and it was Alan Lazard.
Yeah, and like, a lot of those guys drop balls.
Oh,
and
my God, that guy Dobbs
terrible.
Dropped
yeah.
so many balls. Right. Yes, in that, every third down, he tried to go to him, because clearly that's the guy they want to feed it to.
But if
and
I
he
told
just
you,
dropped it.
But if I told you that Buffalo and Kansas City are the class of the AFC, and I think everybody would agree with that, they're head and shoulders better than everybody else right now, who in the NFC do you think poses a threat? Put it this way. Here's another overreaction. I guarantee, this is Dave Roberts style, I guarantee the winner of the Super Bowl this year is the AFC. How's that for overreaction?
I mean, you're going on a limb there. The NFC's not very good.
No, they're not good at all. That's my point.
Yeah.
What, you got an overreaction? What'd you see?
I said that. Your boy Brady's washed.
Yeah, he is washed. Terrible.
I mean, so yesterday on SportsCenter, I was watching, I always watch the Scott Van Pelt SportsCenter on Sundays specifically. And I, because they always have like really interesting nuggets of information there. So they have Tim Hasselbeck on. He comes in and he always does like these telestrations.
Yep.
And in that game, like they asked him the question, like who's in worse shape, right? Like the Packers or the Bucks. And he kind of said, like, the Bucs. Like, he goes, I know Brady was, like, ripping his offensive line the week before, and rightfully so. But if you look at it this week, and then they would do, like, these, you know, this, like, telestration of they'd highlight the pocket in green around him. And he had so much time, Brady, to throw the ball.
Yeah, he did.
And he would either check it down or he'd completely miss his receiver. Like, make easy, like, he missed easy passes that he would make in his sleep. And I'm starting to think that 45 years old, all the personal stuff, it's all just kind of coming down on him now. And it's all just like hitting him at the same time. Yeah. And that's, look, I'll give Max credit because Max said this, apparently it was 5 years too early. But 5 years ago, Max said on First Take that we're seeing we're going to see the decline of Tom Brady because he's 40 years old and it's going to fall like a cliff eventually. Well, he's right. It's just 5 years. He was 5 years too early because it is falling off like a cliff now.
And listen, in real life, you know, when things outside of you know, football are bothering you, you know, it can take your focus. But the other part of it is, I think that Tom Brady really thought that he could be a, I'm putting this in quotes, like a part-time guy and just show up on Sundays for games.
Nope.
And it just doesn't work that way.
No, look, he was never physically gifted the way some guys are at that position. That, like, for example, I'm going back like old school, like John Elway, like Dan Marino, like those guys that had just incredible arm talents, right? Like, give me a guy who has just got an incredible arm.
You want a guy that's just got an incredible arm?
No, like a
arm.
Good quarterback that had just like all-world arm, right? Like,
okay, well, you mentioned Marino. That's
Elway,
one of the first guys that comes to mind. Elway, what Elway had back then was different because Elway actually had a gun. But he
has mobility, too.
He could move.
Right. But my point is those guys, I mean, those guys wouldn't, but those guys, because they have just incredible arm talent, maybe can get away with that. Brady's never had an incredible arm.
No, but he is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. And what we're watching is a guy who retired, then came back from retirement, then took time off during training camp, then took time off a week ago so he could go celebrate somebody's wedding. I mean, he's all of a sudden become a part-time player. And he's not, he's just too old to be doing that right now.
The
team needs him.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, I want to get back to the Lakers a little bit because the Lakers made a calculated risk and it is absolutely blowing up in their face. We'll get to that plus what you need to know, 710 ESPN.